Yeah, welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Today, education will be the topic all hour long. We'll have Manhattan Christian College President Kevin Ingram joining us here a little after 9:30. But we start with USD 383 Manhattan Ogden Schools, and our two guests this morning via Zoom are USD 383 Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed. Good morning.
Morning, Brandon.
And School Board Member Jardine Coleman.
Good morning.
Good morning to both of you, and certainly this is a big day here for the school district with the meeting coming tonight. There will be the business meeting at 6:30, but I think there will be a lot more interest in the work session at 5:30 with the reopening planning teams. And there was some information that came out yesterday on what that's going to look like somewhat here, at least the plan here, the draft plan. And Eric, do you want to kind of start things off and kind of discuss what will be talked about tonight?
Yeah, tonight we're really going to focus in on the learning side and the learning options that we'll have available for our families. Digging into a remote learning option and an on-site learning option that we're going to ask people to choose next week when online registration opens up on Monday. And we know that's not a lot of time for people to make decisions, but this has been a time press for everybody all through the process. So We're grateful, and we're gonna try and get some of those definitions and have a one page front and back is the best we could do out to our families as soon as we can this week so that they can make an informed decision next week.
All right, and I know there was guidelines that were put out recently from the Kansas State Department of Education. How closely have you been following those?
Well, we just got them last week, so we've only had a matter of a few days to work through. And I will say on the safety operations, as far as food service, buses, we've been on the right track. There wasn't anything major that came out and suggestions in there that we haven't discussed. As far as health and nursing services and how you approach cleaning in the building, I think we've been on track with that as well. The academic part, I haven't worked with as much, and that was probably about 900 pages, a 1,000-plus page document that we had. So teaching and learning and special education been focusing in on that, and that's mainly what we're going to be looking at tonight.
All right. Well, we saw remote learning kind of come together in the spring, and it looks like, you know, with that being an option here for the fall, I imagine it's going to be a little bit different from what it was in the spring.
Yeah. The continuous learning plan that was put place in the spring was a matter of 3 days, putting it together, or a week. And that's just not a lot of time to do anything. The remote learning option is going to be different. It's going to be more demand, more expectations, more communication back and forth. I think that more rigor, more demands on the assignments, more demands on the teachers and students that are in that option. More accountability, I guess, is the word people like to use.
Jardine, I'll bring you on here. How important is it, do you feel as a school board member, that the parents can have an option here?
I think with the ongoing uncertainty about where our county is and where our region is with COVID numbers, I think that anything that we can do to give parents an option is the right thing to do. And I am so thankful that our administrative team has worked so hard all summer to develop a plan that has several options and even contingency plans if things take a turn as far as increasing number of cases in the area. So hopefully we've given parents just enough information to make a preliminary decision so that we can start to see what our numbers are going to look like in school buildings so that we can start to prepare our classrooms and our plans all together once we're on site in August.
All right. It's interesting because, and honestly, I think the option's probably a good way to go here, because no matter what you do, you're not going to please everybody. And that's probably, you guys probably have the toughest job of anyone here, of any of these government agencies with all these kids coming back. But the on-site learning option, that is still, for now at least, it is an option going forward. Things are going to look a lot different here for those who select that option.
Yeah, they'll definitely look a lot different. And, you know, a lot of what we do, we're going to still be adjusting on the fly, depending on how many families take our remote learning option. You know, when we surveyed families back in, I want to say late May, early June, we sent a survey out, and about 10% of our families at that time said they would like to pursue an online, fully online option. I don't know if that number stays the same or if it would creep up. My guess is it would creep up with the amount of cases we've had in the community recently. At least that's from the questions and people I've been hearing about. So, you know, my question is, if it's 10%, you know, for our district, that's 650 kids. If that creeps up to 20%, that's over 1,000 students. So, you know, if 1,000 students are going digitally and taking the remote option, we'll be able to spread out a little bit better at school. But we're trying to take those steps. So secondary will probably be looking at block schedules to where they only attend half their classes each day for longer periods of time. That'll lessen the contacts with transitions and movement around the building. That's a possibility for us too. We're gonna require masks for all of our students and staff at our buildings, and hopefully keep the spread under control in that manner, using that, and also hygiene, where hand sanitizer stations, a lot of places, extra hand washing, trying to spread out at lunch and taking care of our supervision. It's going to look a lot different. And I just hope people realize that the more vigilant we can be at those things, the better chance we have to stay face to face longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and obviously the on-site learning option, you know, as we know, school normally here, it's done a lot in group activities. I imagine that would not be the case here, at least for the fall.
Yeah, they're going to be challenged. I've told my principals at a meeting, you know, we're going to be challenged with the balance of safety and best practice, because best education practice doesn't meet up with social distancing guidelines or connections or relationships or even hugs with your students at the elementary level. That's a pretty important thing. But we're in a situation where we're going to have to be safe as well, as safe as we possibly can in this situation. So yeah, it's going to look a lot different. It's going to challenge us. The desks in the classrooms, you know, we're not supposed to, you know, according to all the guidelines, not group up our students, our little quads where, you know, the four students are facing each other and they're spread out around the room. We're going to have to spread that out, and it'll be a lot different.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't like that. No. And I don't like that either. So I hope everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like eating Brussels sprouts. They're really good for you, but they don't taste very good.
Right. Well,
you know, Brandon, I also think this gives us an opportunity to empower our teachers to be creative and to think outside the box. And especially for newer teachers, I think, you know, they are being asked to do something that they just have absolutely had no plans to do. I mean, none of our teachers did, right? But I think we really are at a prime point in history where we can just dream and imagine, you know, how do we emotionally connect with our students without physical touch? How can we do that? And I'm looking forward to seeing what our teachers come up with and what creative ways they can help students feel loved and nurtured in their classrooms that don't involve hugs or high fives. I know we're going to get some phenomenal things that are going to come out of this.
You know, speaking of teachers, have you heard from any teachers on kind of their thoughts with the plan moving forward? Or is there any concerns that, you know, maybe they might not want to come back to the classroom?
Well, I hear from a lot of people, teachers being one of those. There's varying degrees of concern. And, you know, we have staff with underlying medical conditions or medical conditions within their family. And I think there's some concern there. There's some legit things. A lot of things out there will say, you know, that students aren't going to be impacted as much as adults. Well, we need our adults to teach our kids. And if our adults get impacted by this and get sicker than our kids do, that's why we mask. And that's why we're going to encourage the hand washing to keep everybody safe throughout the thing. But yeah, there's some anxiety there too. And, you know, teachers teaching under anxiety is more difficult than relaxed. That's going to be a challenge, absolutely, across the board, from classrooms to buses to food service to custodial to administration.
We have a caller has a question here, so I'll get to them next. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Hello. You're ignoring the 600-pound gorilla in the room. The schools have, by history, always been a bacteria growth area. So you said the kids homesick, and we all get it. And it's one of the things that you need to consider in your plans on what you're going to do with the schools. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Robert, for the call.
I think that's a great point. And that piece of the puzzle is covered in the facilities plan more so. And tonight is more so focused on the learning plan. But Eric, I know you can speak to some of those ideas that are floating around and kind of plans in place for protocols about a positive case.
Yeah, a positive case is we've been working with the county health department on some protocols with what a close contact is and making sure our staff understands what a close contact means, both inside the classroom and out in normal life. Our parents are going to have to be very important. What you said about sending kids home sick, we got to get them not sent to school if they're sick. And I think that'll be something that's difficult. And sometimes parents in the past have sent them when they weren't feeling well, or maybe they tried, or maybe they just have a little fever. We're going to have to be vigilant on that again. And everybody's going to have to do it together, because you can mask a fever for a little bit in a lot of ways. But when we need a student to stay home, we need him to stay home. And that's going to be a challenge on our staff end as well, because a lot of teachers will come to school sick, because it's, you know, sometimes it's easier to do that than to get a substitute. Substitutes are going to be hard to find. So we're going to have to work hard, super hard around the thing. And it's not going to be convenient for our parents to keep their kids home when they're sick, but we're going to need to this year. And I go back to, we're going to have to do some difficult things to keep face-to-face as long as we possibly can.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation on the other side of a break here, but stay tuned. More In Focus comes at you after this on News Radio KMAN.